acted like the kind of rascal who made a dodgy living selling gold watches that go green after a week. And he appeared to be convinced, utterly convinced, that he never did anything really wrong. He'd stand there, amid the carnage, blood on his hands and stolen jewellery in his pocket, and with an expression of injured innocence declare, "Me? What did I do?" And it was believable, right up until you looked deep into those cheeky, smiling eyes and saw, deep down, the demons looking back. But don't spend too much time looking at those eyes, because that'd mean you'd taken your eyes off his hands, and by now one of them held a knife. It was hard for the average copper to deal with people like that. They expected people, when heavily outnumbered, to give in, or to try to deal, or at least just stop moving. They didn't expect people to kill for a $5 watch. A $100 watch, now that'd be different. This was Ankh-Morpork, after all. "Was Strong and he are married," he said. "No, sir, lived in New Cobblers with his parents." Parents, thought Vimes, that made it worse. "Anyone been to tell him?" he said. "And don't say it was Nobby. We don't want any repeat of that bet you a dollar you're the Widow Jackson nonsense." "I went, sir, as soon as we got the news." "Thank you. They took it badly?" "They took it solemnly, sir." Vimes groaned. He could imagine the expressions. "I'll write them the official letter," he said, pulling open his desk. "Get someone to take it round, will you? And say I'll be over later. Perhaps this isn't the time to..." Oh, hold on, they were dwarfs. Dwarfs weren't bashful about money. "Forget that. Say we'll have all the details of his pension and so on. Died on duty, too. That's extra. It all adds up. That'll be theirs." He rummaged in his cupboards. "Where's his file?" "Here, sir," said Carrot, handing it over smoothly. "We are due at the palace at 10, sir. Watch committee. But I'm sure they'll understand," he added, seeing Vimes's face. "I'll go and clean out Strong in the Arms locker, sir, and I expect the lads'll have a whip round for flowers and everything." Vimes pondered over a sheet of headed paper after the captain had gone. A file. He had to refer to a damn file. But there were so many coppers these days. A whip round for flowers and a coffin. You'd look after your own. Sergeant Dickens had said that a long time ago. He wasn't good with words, least of all ones written down, but after a few glances at the file to refresh his memory, he wrote down the best he could think of. And they were all good words, and more or less they were the right ones. But in truth, Strong in the Arm was just a decent dwarf who was paid to be a copper. He joined up because these days joining the watch was quite a good choice of career. The pay was good, there was a decent pension, there was a wonderful medical scheme, if you had the nerve to submit to Eagle's ministrations in the cellar, and, after a year or so, an Ankh-Morpork-trained copper could leave the city and get a job in the watches of other cities in the plain with instant promotion. That was happening all the time. Sammies, they were called, even in towns that had never heard of Sam Vimes. He was just a little proud of that. They meant watchmen who could think without their lips moving, who didn't take bribes, much. And then only at the level of beer and donuts, which even Vimes recognised as the grease that helps the wheels run smoothly, and were, on the whole, trustworthy. For a given value of trust, at least. The sound of running feet indicated that Sergeant Detritus was bringing some of the latest trainees back from their morning run. He could hear the Jody Detritus had taught them. Somehow you could tell it was made up by a troll.
"Now we sing this stupid song, sing it as we run along. Why we sing this, we don't know. We can't make the words rhyme properly. Sound off. One, two. Sound off. Many, lots. Sound off. What?"
It still irked Vimes that the little training school in the old lemonade factory was turning out so many coppers who quit the city the moment their probation was up. But it had its advantages. There were Sammies almost as far as Uberwalds now, all speeding up the local promotion ladder. It helped, knowing names, and knowing that those names had been taught to salute him. The ebb and flow of politics often meant that the local rulers weren't talking to one another, but via the semaphore towers, the Sammies talked all the time. He realised he was humming a different song under his breath. It was a tune he'd forgotten for years. It went with the lilac, scent and song together. He stopped, feeling guilty. He was finishing the letter when there was a knock at the door.
"Nearly done," he shouted.
"It's me, sir," said Constable Igor, pushing his head around the door, and then he added, "Igor, sir."